You know, I'm a very, very short timer now. And as is the custom in the transitions, I suppose, I've never done this before, I find myself thinking back, sometimes second guessing myself, but more often than not, remembering, reconnecting to my life in this crazy old church, my life from that moment when that still small voice, not unlike that which came to Samuel Duncan, I thought it was indigestion. I'm going to look back on my journey, our journey as a church, and as I'd invite you to do a bit of the same this morning, not so much as emphasizing the past, but seeing the past is what God might be calling us to in the future. And the truth of the matter is, as you and I look back on our time in the church, hard to imagine the extraordinary changes. Whether the Episcopal Church is relatively new to you, or whether it has nurtured you from birth, no one, objectively looking at our history, can deny these extraordinary changes. I went off to seminary after wrestling with that indigestion in 1971. And to give you a little context, in 1971, Archie Manning was a rookie quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, and he had no children. And in 1971, Gene Snipes was a speedy first baseman for the St. James Episcopal softball team. And in 1971, the church was trying to grasp the reality of something that was shaking us to our very foundations. And those of you who were around, remember, we were trying to grasp the reality of women serving on vestments. Pretty dramatic. The change that was made only 3 years before here in Mississippi. And only 2 years before, we had approved women serving as delegates to our annual diocesan council. And the three women who were in my seminary class were thought to be quixotic dreamers. Most of us believed the church would never ordain women. And to my great chagrin and horror, I once said to one of them, "And if the church does, it would never be accepted in Mississippi." Church had refused to acknowledge that gay and lesbian persons had any legitimate status in the church. Indeed, excommunication of openly gay men and women was an option exercised by some clergy. In 1971, when I went off to seminary, if you were remarried after a divorce, there was a required period of excommunication from the church. And in 1971, when I went off to seminary, the location of diocesan council had to be carefully chosen. For some of our towns were openly hostile to a fully integrated gathering. 44 years ago, when I went off to seminary, the storm we were still rebuilding from was named Camille. We were saying our prayers for the 1928 prayer. And this place, brand new. Now, that seemed like ancient history. history. Imagine what has happened in the 15 years that I've been a bishop. 15 years ago, when I was elected your bishop, 9/11, Bishop Gene Robinson, Hurricane Katrina, the Great Recession, Barack Obama, Catherine Jefferson Shorey, Brian Sage, smartphones were not on anybody's radar. And Carol Lee thought that that voice from God was just sending her to St. Peter's as a layperson 15 years ago. These have been extraordinarily challenging times. And through them all, faithful people have gathered week after week after week to be nurtured in word and sacrament, to find the living Lord in the midst of a community of faith, and to be strengthened to face both personal and cultural challenges so as to serve God and God's people in ways that are pleasing to our Lord. Week after week after week, in economic good times and bad times, in personally calm times and conflicted times, in times when you had the world on a string, in times when your personal life was in a shambles, you and folks like you have gathered together, holding on to each other, and making the offering of who you are at this and other altars. Here we offer and present our Lord, ourselves, our souls, our bodies. And you and folks like you have managed to negotiate these extraordinary changes, even seeing the work of the Holy Spirit within them. Because you have never lost sight of what is foundational to your faith, a living, transformational relationship with the risen Lord that is nurtured around an altar and propels you into the world as God's servants. Now, here in this special place, we have talked about many things over these 15 years. Honestly, some of our conversations have been a bit more animated than others. But on this, last time with you as a bishop, I thought about what I could say that could be a word of hope that could be helpful to you as you seek to live in and through those inevitable changes that will come your way, both personally in the wider community and within your church. What could I say that is related with some integrity to my experience of some 44 years of considering and living into ordination in this crazy old broken yet grace-filled church? Try as I might, my own words seem so inadequate. Then a thought hit me. When in doubt, return to Scripture. What a novel idea for a bishop. Back last fall, I was reminded of one of my favorite passages. It just jumped out at me. This is what I want to say as I say goodbye. This is a passage from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Now, the church in Philippi was one of St. Paul's favorite churches. And throughout the New Testament, there is ample evidence for his affection for the church in Philippi. Hear me clearly. There are some similarities here. Now, Paul was in prison, probably Rome, when he was writing this letter, where he was anticipating trial and death. Now, the comparisons break down a bit there. But Paul wants to leave them a word of hope. says his goodbyes to this congregation that meant so much to him. And so does your old bishop. So hear these words. Now hear them not as the words of a Mediterranean missionary some 2,000 years ago, but as words from your bishop, who has so deeply cherished his relationship with you. Through all the many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come, says the great hymn sung just a moment ago in Korean. And that remembering that 'twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. Hear these words. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, my beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And keep on doing the things that you have learned, received and heard and seen in Christ.